to the homily studio for Sunday the 17th of May, which in many parts of the world, indeed in our part of the world, in Aotearoa, we celebrate the Ascension of the Lord. There are still many other places which still celebrate Ascension Thursday. So wherever you are listening, we hope that our conversation, which will focus on the Feast of the Ascension, is helpful for you. Who do we have in this conversation?
Kia ora koutou, magandang araw. I'm Maya Bernardo. I'm zooming in from the windy and now chilly city of Wellington.
Kia ora tato. My name is Kathleen Petrie. I am sitting in sunny Devonport at the moment.
Kia ora everyone. I'm Jim McAloon. I live in the Wellington region. I'm calling in from Pukerua Bay, just up the coast a bit.
Great. We've got the country covered, but I'm the only one in the south. Wherever you are, whatever is weighing heavily on your heart, whatever hopes and joys you're carrying, let's bring all of those to our conversation, because our ears are opened when our hearts are engaged. So whatever's going on in your life and in the lives of those you love, that's part of the place where the Spirit of God is able to touch today. As we pray, in the entrance antiphon for this feast, people of Galilee, why gaze and wonder at the heavens? This Jesus whom you saw ascending into heaven will return as you saw him go. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
Alleluia. People of Galilee, why gaze and wonder at the heavens? Well, if I can start with my take home, I wonder if that's a lot of our problem, that we spend so much time gazing to where God is not for us, where we think God would be or should be, but he's the heart of the feast, the heart of our faith, God present. I don't usually go first, but I just couldn't help myself. Someone else.
Yeah, when you said God is present, then that's exactly, you know, the message of the Ascension. God never leaves. Jesus never left. Although the Ascension is, you know, like a bittersweet farewell. That's why some of the apostles believe, and there among them are doubters, which is, how could you doubt when it's right in front of your eyes? But apparently it does. So, yeah, so Ascension, I think, is the sweet goodbye, the bittersweet goodbye of Jesus. But it's never really a goodbye, a departure.
That line, people of Galilee, why are you standing here looking into the sky? My favorite homily on that was not many years ago, a priest, I think, from Tonga. And he said, well, where I come from, if you're standing around looking at the sky, someone will say, why are you looking at the sky? Get back to work. And in a way, I think that's part of what I think about Ascension, the Ascension, that, you know, it is, you know, for us as the people of God to carry on. You know, we've been given the job to do.
Yeah. And that sense of a still evolving church comes through quite clearly in the readings. You know, John the Baptist is mentioned, so you've got the transition between the Old Testament and the Gospel of Jesus. Then the signs and teachings of Jesus are mentioned, so that's there's a new era. And then with the commissioning of the disciples, the present era, which is still unfolding, as because we are following in the footsteps of the disciples. And I thought it was interesting that disciples comes from the Latin discere, meaning to learn. So discere, D-I-S-C-E-R-E. Discere. Discere in classical Latin, but
discere.
To learn. So to be a disciple is to be a learner.
I can't help, you know, if I may mention, just before we started the recording, we were mentioning about the closing churches, and I can't help but this reading kind of speaks to that, because you know, around the diocese, some churches are being closed, and in some ways that's and a lot of people, you know, it's an emotional Or it's a disruption, a very emotional disruption for a lot of people. And I wonder if there's something we could learn from the ascension. And just taking on from Kathleen, what you said about evolving, the God's mission evolving. And you know, I've learned this from Neil Darroch's book on what the church is for, that the realm of God is evolving, and so is the mission. And yet, a lot of us, you know, sentimental beings, we just have to keep the church we know, and the church that the church which is more consistent with our image and likeness.
Yeah, that this it was mentioned before. There's a bit of a tension between people who see the realm of God as something that we will experience only after we die, in the kingdom of heaven. So, and even that word kingdom, you know, that's means different things to different people. And even the disciples still didn't get it, you know, because just before Jesus is leaving, they're saying, "When are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" But if we are an evolving church, then that commitment to bringing about the realm of God on this earth is something that we have to come to terms with. And I agree with you, Maya. Neil Darroch's book, "But What Is the Church For?" is something that I've revisited often. Often when we hear that Great Commission reading, it's actually the seventh Sunday of Easter reading in Matthew's Gospel. You know, I give you the Great Commission, preach the gospel to all. So mission and commission.
And it goes beyond the Catholic Church. And I think that
Absolutely.
this is where the mahi of Jim, as one of our members of the Ecology, Justice and Peace Commission of the Archdiocese of Wellington, the church is should be outgoing. And I wonder how many of church of our churches are really appreciating or are aware that, you know, the mission or the message of the gospel is for us to go out into the world.
Good. And
And
to
I wonder
stay there,
if
Maya. I think that's a very important point, because very often we talk about evangelization. It's a very popular word, especially in many programs that are popular in the church. But evangelization means going out to get them and get them in. That's actually not evangelization according to the model of Jesus. It was meeting people where they are. And evangelization shouldn't be about forming a parish community. It should be about the people who are the parishioners living in the community. It's a very interesting thing that Pope Benedict, a few years ago, in his three volumes on the scriptures, writes about the ascension. And one of the things that he writes, he's quoting we're in Matthew's gospel today, but he talks about the end of Luke's gospel, which also mentions the ascension, saying the joy of the disciples after the ascension. Note, he says, like Jesus goes away. Normally, when you say goodbye to someone, you're sad that they have gone, but that doesn't happen. Which the disciples were filled with joy at the ascension of the Lord. And he writes, and I quote from him, "The joy of the disciples after the ascension corrects our image of this event. Ascension does not mean departure into a remote region of the cosmos, but rather the continuing closeness that the disciples experience so strongly that it becomes a source of lasting joy." It's extraordinary. It's a, you know, we if we think of the artwork about the ascension, we see the feet of Jesus hanging beneath a cloud as he goes up. But that's in no sense what the disciples were experiencing. And Jesus often says in the lead up to this event, "I must go so that I can be more with you," which leads us into Pentecost. So I think we have to correct the goodbye image of the ascension. Go, Jim, you're ready there.
Well, yeah, I was just thinking that, reflecting on that gospel reading, yeah, the Great Commission, make disciples of all the nations, but what's also there, teach them to observe all the commands I gave you. And that's about how we live in the world, as you as you were both saying. And I think we need to remember that most of the church, most of the people of God are not ordained, not in vowed religious lives. We live in families, communities, we have jobs, we have occupations, preoccupations. That's where we live our vocation. That was a key insight of the Second Vatican Council. And I think it's one that needs repeating in our time. I think often, as we just noted, there's an assumption that evangelization means bringing people in. And I was thinking of Pope Paul's last great writing on evangelization, where he said it is also about proper human development, that you can't separate the work of justice and peace from evangelization.
I think the responsorial psalm for the seventh Sunday of Easter, the response is, I believe that I shall see the good things of the Lord in the land of the living. So that's a commission. That's a commission to us as the church today. What, as communities of faith, are we doing to display the good things of the Lord in the land of the living?
Because the land of the living is now here, because this is where Christ is present. There's a great book which I mentioned a few weeks ago on the Homily Studio, called God's Homecoming. It's by the Bishop N.T. Wright, who's a great scripture scholar and has a wonderful ability to get to the heart of the matter very quickly and without too much clutter. But his whole point is that here is God's dwelling place and forever. It's not that there will come a time when there is nothing that we recognize and we're now taken away to a far off cosmos where the reign of God is. No, his whole point is that if you look through the scriptures, the evidences, the teaching of Jesus clearly is the reign of God here and now, which is actually communicated and amplified by the disciples being filled with joy. They had no sense that Jesus was leaving them. They'd already, in the 40 days since the resurrection, had a sense that he was actually more with them than he had been when he was limited by physical time and space. So that book, God's Homecoming, N.T. Wright, is a wonderful reflection.
The other inspiring thing that I've been listening to is a hymn that's on YouTube. It comes out from an outfit called LICC, which is a London charismatic organization, and it's to the tune of Abide With Me, but I'm a lot more upbeat than Abide With Me. It's called We Seek Your Kingdom, and you can find it on YouTube. But the chorus of it is that the mission of the people of God is to transform, revive, and heal society. Good things of God in the land of the living.
Amen. You send us a link, Kath, to the hymn?
Yeah, I will. I will.
Well, I'll attach it below.
I can't help but when ask myself, what is the implication of the ascension in my faith life, or what the message of the ascension in my faith life? And I can't help but they think of death, that's our great departure. And I've read in Ron Rolheiser's book, there's and you mentioned discipleship, Kathleen. So he said there's three stages in a disciple's life. One is when we put our lives together, that's the first. The second, when we give our lives away. And the third is when we give our deaths away, when our very death becomes a blessing, not because you disappear, but and I could, my father just passed away, and it's both beautiful. It was tragic, it was very painful, but there's something beautiful about it. I felt in when he passed away, there was a blessing. There's a presence that, I could feel him more now, especially I'm not in my own country. And then there are funerals that I come out just feeling nourished and blessed. And I think probably if I could just imagine a bit of how ascension would have looked, the probably for me that would be how it would taste, or
Okay.
how it would look.
Yeah, Maya, I'm sorry, I didn't know your father had died recently. You have our prayers and support. I'm interested you use the word blessing and the funeral. You were there for the funeral, Maya?
I was there in his last moments.
Tell me something about the blessing. Like, there'll be a lot of people listening who are with those who are dying, who are facing the dealing with
He
the
didn't
death.
say anything wise because he was struggling, but I think that it was a kind of blessing that is already beyond words and even beyond life. Like when he moved on, I just felt an enormous sense that he loved me. And a deep gratefulness that I'm his daughter, and a sort of a deep sense that even if I'm here in New Zealand, that he's with me. And that's for me when I reflect on the ascension, probably that's how it felt for the apostles, putting myself in that situation. And probably it expanded 10 more times because if I were an apostle of Jesus, I would be like codependent. I wouldn't like to see him go.
Actually, we often use the word resurrection at the time of a funeral, the resurrection of the dead. I wonder, how about using also the word ascension, like what your father
Yes.
has experienced is an ascension, because you came in those difficult days to a deeper appreciation of his love for you, and you still, it's clear when you speak, have a deeper, profound awareness of his presence with you. This is ascension.
Yes, probably I could feel the love that wasn't able to feel when he was alive because I was, family relationship, there's always that tension. It's always the imperfection or the baggages. But when he passed on, that seems not to matter anymore. And at the end of it's just the love that remained. To Probably that's how ascension must have felt for the apostles.
And he left a going away gift, the Holy Spirit. There's quite a lot of preparation for Pentecost going on in this area at the moment. Both the Catholic parish and the Anglican parish are running prayers in preparation for Pentecost, and the Anglican Church is running a prayer vigil for 24 hours on this coming Saturday, and people are encouraged to go and spend some time. But it's maybe anticipating what next week's homily studio will focus on. But the Holy Spirit is that mysterious person of the Trinity that is so important in all of what Jesus is teaching and whom we need as the people of God.
I have a sense that we're almost, this is difficult to talk about. Like, particularly Maya, your sharing about your dad, our reference to ascension. Kath, you talking about how the Anglicans and the Catholics of your area are preparing for this together. And maybe that's a characteristic of a digestion of the Trinity. Is a silence. Like, this doesn't fit into words very well, which is why we have to have strange art like feet hanging from clouds going up, which is why we have to have all the disciples waving goodbye. But in fact, the evidence in the scriptures is that through the Acts of the Apostles, which begins about this point, or with Pentecost, sorry, which begins about this point, the Acts of the Apostles, the presence of the Lord is even stronger than we see in the Gospels, oddly. Like, in the Gospels, we see and we hear the audibly the words of Jesus. We see his miracles, and ten or many thousands of people heard Jesus speak and witnessed his miracles and didn't come to any kind of belief. But it's after Pentecost we see the whole thing change, and the church, even in the midst of 300 years of great persecution, enters a period of, I'm not going to say growth because we immediately think numbers, of excitement and energy.
And that,
Go on.
sorry,
You go, Kathleen.
that excitement and energy, I think, comes from the action and the attitude of the disciples who've learned from Jesus that the work of bringing about the realm of God only happens through them. And it's their actions and attitudes spread around more widely than that single presence of Jesus, single physical presence of Jesus when he was alive, that encourages the energy. You know, it's sort of like if I want what they've got, or I'm having what they're having, you know, just I want to be able to have that confidence to proclaim the goodness of God.
I was just thinking of what you were saying, Maya, and the almost transformation of perspective that you were talking about. And I thought that there was something in there relating to our second reading from Ephesians, I think it is, about the hope God's call, Jesus' call, holds for you, what he's promised. And sometimes I guess, it is difficult to understand what hope might be, especially in this the world as it is now. And I found myself thinking back to I think the very first words Pope Leo spoke when he was elected about, God loves us, evil will not prevail. But also the persistent emphasis in much of his teaching, and reflecting a line from Pope Francis that we need to recover the belief that being good and decent are worthwhile in themselves. So I think, hope is in some ways simply about doing what is right because it is right, and leaving the results to take care of themselves.
And what is right is what will bring about healing and wholeness and forgiveness and ultimately, resurrection and ascension.
There are a number of opportunities we have in the church's year to correct misunderstandings. And I do think that this Feast of the Ascension and Pentecost next week, and of course the great Easter and Christmas and Trinity Sunday, Body and Blood of Christ all coming up, are great opportunities. So as a take home, my encouragement to preachers would be to correct this idea that Jesus has gone away so that the Holy Spirit can come. Because the evidence is that Jesus is now with them in a different form, which delights them, and the Holy Spirit comes. And I will attach below a link to Pope Benedict's reflection on this. So that would be my take. Gosh, I'm getting in first all the time today. There I go, first with the take home. I'm usually the last. Who's next?
Well, I would just invite parishioners to take this time to put themselves in the story of the ascension. And just sit with it. Where are we? How do we feel? And then when Jesus said, go out into the whole world and make disciples of nations, and I'm with you always, just let that sink in and prepare ourselves for Pentecost. And you know that the reflection of the ascension itself would speak a lot. It's we say that the gospel, the scripture is the living word, and I'm sure people would find other meanings or deepen their understanding of what it means to be a disciple by just sitting with the story of the ascension.
I think my take home would be the response to the responsorial psalm. I believe that I shall see the good things of the Lord in the land of the living, and a challenge to the people listening to this homily, the homily to come on the weekend, about what you do, what I do to bring about the good things of the Lord in the land of the living.
I think similarly, that line attributed, I don't think it's authentic, but attributed to Teresa of Avila, Christ now has no body but yours, no hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. So while Christ has not left us, there is also that sense for me in which it is over to the people of God. Let's take our thoughts, our conversation to prayer, knowing that prayer is a 24/7 way of living rather than periodically calling on God to do what we want. So we relax into the divine intention for us, which is the abundance, the fullness of life, aware too of our need and our capacity for the Holy Spirit, which in the light of Pentecost is a positive. So as we prepare for Pentecost next week, let's become aware of your need for the Holy Spirit. As we pray in the Collect, the opening prayer for this Feast of the Ascension, gladden us with holy joys, Almighty God, and make us rejoice with devout thanksgiving, for the ascension of Christ your Son is our exaltation. And where the head has gone before in glory, the body is called to follow in hope. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen. Thank you very much.